Great. Thank you, Chris. I've got John Williamson next.
Yes, as some of you know, I served as fishery liaison for Ørsted on two of their projects in southern New England and Mid-Atlantic. One was the Bay State Wind Project, and the other was the New Jersey Ocean Wind Project. So for 3 years, I was serving as their liaison in the development of construction and operations plans for their applications for both those projects. And so it's a little bit of input, some of the frustrations and difficulties that you had in both those cases that I'd like to flag up front here. One is that there are actually two different environments that are affected, and two different types of fishing effort that are impacted. There is the environment that is encompassed by the wind array, the wind farm itself. And then there's the environment that surrounds the cable laying. And the cable laying comes into shore so that, you know, the wind array is going to affect vessels that fish and fisheries that happen well offshore. But export cable is going to affect the inshore fisheries, and primarily that is the lobster fishery in southern New England, and I suspect it'll be the lobster fishery here in the Gulf of Maine. And the issue is that electromagnetic fields affect lobsters, and that the electromagnetic field is a component of this impact that is created by this high voltage cable. The most effective mitigation strategy for that is to make sure that the cable is buried at least 2 meters deep. Okay. And in order to bury it that deep, you've got to have it running through substrate where you can achieve that kind of burial depth reliably. One of the most effective things that I was able to do was to create a working group with lobster fishermen to do work with the cable siting engineers. And one of the frustrations we had to deal with was that BOEM requires a lot of investment in data accumulation about substrate, okay, up front. And that's an upfront cost that runs into the hundreds of thousands of dollars. So that when the cable is sighted, it's usually sighted fairly early in the game in developing the overall construction plan. And then the company goes and invests a lot of money in doing remote sensing of many different kinds. They're trying to understand the substrate down to depths of, you know, 100 or 200 feet in most of that. But they're also trying to understand whether they can bury the cable or not, and then create a plan around that. Where they can't bury the cable, they plan on doing rock mattressing. Rock mattressing creates another impact on the environment. It changes the environment. If there's a lot of rock mattressing, that's adding a lot of new hard substrate to the environment. One way or the other, the lobster fishermen actually were able to help reroute, in some cases, the cable laying around the most important lobster grounds. They phrased it as the A grounds for them, okay? But that was that kind of opportunity was really foreclosed to a large extent because the company had already invested a great deal of money in surveying the route that they had chosen early in the game and so if the lobster industry had been working with the company to define that route, they would have probably have found a much better route for the fishing industry, for the lobster industry, that the company would have been happy to do. As you know, it's one option. I mean, it's no skin off their back to do it in one, to do the route one way or another, as long as they're not adding a lot of extra miles. So that's one comment.
John, just the time. Can go ahead and make that other comment and try to be a little more brief.
I will. The other one is pretty succinct, Pat, and that is to say that the frustration that the fishing industry has had with all these projects going in south of the Cape has been that there is no time to develop baseline data of impacts. Okay, and there needs to be a plan that for putting. A data collection plan in the water as soon as possible to be able to get as many years of baseline data. I'll stop there as saying what baseline data needs to be accumulated. That plan is hard to come by because the builder and the fishing industry needs to agree what's important. Okay, and what are you going to want to monitor for over the long term? Okay, and then come up with a research plan for getting the baseline on those metrics, those chosen metrics. Okay, and you want ideally 5 years of baseline data before construction. So those are two things that really need to be looked at right from day one. And I'll stop, Pat. I'm done.
John, thank you. Thanks, Array. And I think last night as well, people raised, there's really two siting challenges, the array itself, and then the transmission cable, as you just noted, and baseline data, absolutely a concern people need to address. So John, thank you.
And then Meredith, did you want to chime in there?
Yeah, I guess I wanted to just comment quickly. I think John's raising some points that are, I think, relevant to this conversation and important because I know we kind of are, you know, there's concern about this process and concern about the fact that the decision has been made to make this application. But what it does do is give us an opportunity to answer some of these questions proactively and to begin doing that work earlier in the timeline than is the case in a commercial project. And so I just want to point that out because I think some of the things that John is raising as concerns, we have a potential opportunity to avoid by taking this approach with a research array. And I just wanted to make that note.